is Max Barnett. Max is the director of the Baptist Student Union. And he's been the director here since before you or I were born, which translates to about 21 years. He has a beautiful wife, Sandra, and a handsome yet intelligent son, Brent. Seriously. Seriously. I've learned that my father is very wise, and whenever he speaks to me on something, I've learned after 21 years to listen. So I would encourage you to do the same as he comes to speak tonight. So he's going to come to speak to us after we pray. Father, we come before you tonight and really thank you for allowing us to be here. Lord, it's good to be here and be in fellowship with other believers. God, I pray we'd have ears to hear tonight. And that what we hear, we would seek to apply it in our life and obey what you've told us. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Last word tonight, or at least the most words in the middle, so you did right well, son. I want to, you will notice under your chair, there ought to be a little green sheet that says how to be a good student. And if each one of you will take that, we left room for you to take notes. And if you need a pencil, would you raise your hand? We tried to scatter some out, thinking that maybe a few of you would have them. Someone is coming to give you a pencil. Just keep your hands up. And we'll try to... Is there anyone that does not have one of the sheets? Okay. Now I want to say to you tonight, we're interested in every area of your life. Somewhere along the line, some people have the idea that discipleship in the Christian life is just a little segment of life. And I want you to know that if you're involved here at the Baptist Student Union, we are concerned about every area of your life. We want you to be a good student. We're concerned about helping prepare you for marriage, that you make a wise decision in that area, that you learn how to get out and... get a job, and that you be successful where you are, that you have a good testimony. And we want you to know that. And so we're not just interested in just a little religious area of life. And I want you to know that's one of the reasons we felt that tonight this might be helpful to you. Because our desire is to help you. You're going to give us some time. You're giving some time to be here tonight. If you're on the freshman ministry team on Tuesday night, you give us some time. And we take that as a very, very sacred trust. And we feel like if you will do those things and be involved on the different teams and anything you can, the retreats, the conferences, that we feel like we'll be able to give you some things that will enable you even to be more effective than those students who do not take time for things like you're giving your time to tonight. And so let's get started on how to be a good student. There, as you notice, there's room for you to take notes, and I hope you will as we go along. You know, the university time can be a tremendous time in your life. It's a time of great learning, but there are some time to do some other things. And especially, I know you want to have some fun in life, and I've found, you know, I thoroughly enjoy life. I mean, I love living. I have much fun in life. And I'm convinced no one has the fun that the Christian really has, because you see, when you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, when He's Lord of your life, when you live your life by priorities, you get to do a lot of things that maybe some other people do not get to do. I've found that by trying to live life by priorities, I get to do a lot of fun things in life. And while you're in school, it's a tremendous time. You will find that this will be one of the greatest times in your life of growth and development, of building relationships, of learning not only what you learn in school, but just learning about life. Now, there's some reasons that you ought to study. And I want to say this first of all to you, that one of the great reasons to study is just to gain greater freedom. If you want to be free from pressure, you need to learn to study. Because I tell you, but if you're here and you're a freshman, you will not believe the number of exams that you're going to face between now and the time you get out of school. the number of papers that are due, the number of projects that are due. And by learning how to really study, you will take tremendous pressure off of yourself. And one of the things about gaining further freedom is, you see, your future courses are normally based on your basic courses. And it's very important that you get started off right. And you will relieve tremendous pressure when it comes exam time. You know, one of the greatest professors I've ever had, and every fall for 10 years after I graduated from high school, for the next 10 years, I enrolled every fall in somebody's graduate school somewhere. And of all the professors I've ever had, one of the men that I felt was one of the most godly and one of the greatest professors was a fellow by the name of Dr. T.B. Maston. He taught Christian ethics. Just went to be with the Lord. And he's, I think he was 91 recently. Just went to, died not long ago. And one of the things I'll never forget that he said in a class one time, he said, you know, he was a Christian when he started to college. And he said, you know, I decided then, as a Christian, and he said, I went through schools and he had, I don't know, a couple of doctor's degrees, I guess at least. And he said, I can honestly say, never one time have I ever, in college or in any graduate school, never one time have I ever studied for an exam. And this was Christian ethics professor that said that. Ethics, you know, is supposed to be what's right, true. And I was amazed at that statement. And then he went on to say, he said, you know, when I became a Christian, I thought God wanted me to learn, and not just to pass exams. And so he said, I studied, and I'll share with you later some of the things that he did. But he said, I can honestly say never one time did I ever study for exam. He said, I would start at the beginning of school. And he said, the first day I went to class, he said, I went back that day and I went over every note I made that day. The next day I went to class, he said, I went in that day and I went over every note I took the first day and I went over, read every note from every class the second day. And he said, every day of the semester, I went over every note I'd made in every class from the beginning of the year. And he said, the night before test, if I wanted to go to a movie or do whatever I wanted to do, he said, I never, ever yet for a final or anything have ever studied. He said, I study to learn. And I thought, you know, what a tremendous idea. Now, you talk about a guy that did not experience the pressure in college that most people experience. He didn't, because he studied to learn, not to pass exams. Now, you are building a platform for your future profession. Don't ever let anybody tell you that grades are not important. Do you know that someone can look at your grades and tell a great deal about you? They can tell by the grades you make and by the courses you take. And so don't kid yourself. That is a part of your permanent record. Whatever you make in your classes this semester are going to be over record here from now on. And it is important that you do well in school. Another reason you ought to study is to establish the habit of working hard. Folks, it's a different day today, and I know you're hearing that. But you don't just walk out just because you have a college degree today and walk into a great job. I mean, it's tough out there. And I don't care what you plan to do in life, you're not going to accomplish anything without some hard work. And you need to learn to work hard, because when you get out there, if you succeed in any kind of job or any kind of profession, you're going to have to hit it, and you're going to have to work hard. And one of the reasons you need to learn to study is you need now to establish a habit of learning to work hard. Now, I didn't say work all the time. I'm going to say some things about that later. But I did say when you work, work hard. And one of the things you need to learn in college is when you study, study hard. Hit it. And then go jog. Go do something else. Get away from it. But you do need to learn to work hard. Proverbs 13:4 says, the soul of the sluggard. A sluggard is a lazy person. The soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing. You can sit here tonight and have a tremendous desire to make all A's and come up with all F's. Desire alone will not do it. But the scripture is going to say, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. In other words, it's the one who works. It's not enough just to have desire, but you also have to have some diligence. Proverbs 18:9 says, he who is slack in his work is a brother to him that destroys. If you're slack and negligent in your work, the scriptures say you're just like, you're a brother. You're blood kin to a person who just destroys because you're slack. Proverbs 20:4 says, a sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. Now, if you know anything about farming, you know there's times in the fall or in the winter when you need to go out and plow, the ground is cold. And it says here, now the sluggard won't plow by reason of the cold. It's too cold to work today. Circumstances aren't right. Well, I just don't feel like studying tonight. Now, you got to watch that one. Watch out. Circumstances are never exactly right to study, right? And so, don't be like the sluggard. Proverbs 28:19 says, he who tills his land will have plenty of food. But he who follows empty pursuits will have poverty and plenty. Now, these are farming terms, but that was something very common in that day. Now, the man who'll get out and plow his field will work, will have plenty of food. But the man who's lazy is going to have plenty of want. So establish the pattern of working hard. The fourth reason to study is to show excellence for God's glory and for your good. You know, this verse is not down there, but you may want to jot it down. Philippians 1:10. I pray that you may approve those things that are excellent. And God wants us to show forth excellence in what we do. Now, I want you to understand what I mean by excellence. I'm not meaning that you do everything perfectly, but I'm talking about with the time you have, the ability you have, you do as good a job as you can do with that time. That's the idea of excellence. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, where therefore you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do you know that you can study for the glory of God? You can eat, drink, whatever you do, whatever you find to do, you do it for the glory of God. 1 Timothy 3:7 says, speaking of a spiritual leader, he must have a good reputation with those who are outside the church. One of the things that you're here as Christians, you want to have a good testimony with people in your class. If they see sluggardness on your part, there's not diligence, you're not doing as well as you can do, you're not going to have a very good testimony when it comes time to trying to be a witness to the non-Christians around you. Now, I'm not saying, don't misunderstand me, that I know that some of you, just due to the abilities, I know this was true of me, I didn't have the ability mentally, some people in some of my classes that were non-Christians had. I mean, I just didn't. And so I'm not saying that you have to, you know, that if you're Christian, you got to make all A's. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying there does need to be a diligence, a trying and a working hard in the time that you do study, that you really study and try to do well. Proverbs 22:29 said, do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. If you're good in what you do, you're going to have some tremendous opportunities with some people in high places that you would not have otherwise. And then to fulfill your responsibility to your parents and to those that help you. You know, most of you that are here, your parents are trying to help you. I know when I went away to school, there was no one ever in the history of our family that they ever knew of that had ever been to college. My dad and mom didn't have the privilege to go to college. And they worked hard and they wanted me to go to college. I remember my dad went to be with the Lord just a little over a year ago, but I remember as a boy in high school and before I went away to college, he said, you know, we may not can give you very much, but we will try to help you get an education. And my parents tried to help me to go to college, and they did help me. Some of your parents are helping you go to school. You have an obligation to them. Some of you have other people that are helping you, maybe on your own scholarship, and some of those people have given. And I know that there are people that sometimes, it's not always just big corporation trying to find a tax loophole. There are people that give because they really do want you to have opportunity maybe you couldn't have otherwise. And you know, in Exodus 20:12, it says, honor your father and your mother that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God has given you. And you may want to jot that down, Exodus 20:12, right at the bottom of the first page. But then another verse, Ephesians 6:2. That idea is brought over into the New Testament. And it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And then one of the ways in which you can honor them, they've sent you here to try to help you get an education. And you ought to get it. Okay? Page 2, principles of studying. Number 1, you're going to love this one. Never skip class. Now, I want you to hear this before you walk. You mark it off, because some of you, that's not the way you live. And I won't tell you why. There's some bad. You, Skipping class is a bad habit for a number of reasons. And I'm going to list at least seven for you. And there are probably others. Number one, most courses don't exactly follow the text. Have you ever noticed that? And I can promise you, I went to Texas A&M back in the dark ages. But the difference normally between maybe an A and a B in a course, at least a grade difference is going to come out of the lectures, and perhaps more than that. And so there, you know, if I were a professor, I mean, this guy is not a dummy. Did you know that? I mean, you may think he is in some ways, but the guy knows something. I mean, if you could just get it by buying your textbooks, why don't you just go buy your textbook and they say go off in the room and come back a year later and take your exams and that's it. You know why? You wouldn't do that. I mean, how many people are doing that? This fellow feels like he's got something to contribute and he's not going to go just exactly by the text. I mean, he knows something and he's going to tell you what it is. And he thinks it's important. You'll find that out on exam day. And the second thing, most texts need clarifying. How do you think you'd do being an electrical engineer? Just go buy your textbook and become an electrical engineer. You think you could make it? I don't think you could. Because most texts need some clarifying. You're not going to get it just as a result of reading a book. Number three, most material on the test some of the material on the test will only be given in lectures. I think I mentioned that. They don't exactly follow the text, and some of the material on the test will only be given in lecture. Number four, many times a professor will hint at what's going to be on the test. And not only will he hint what's going to be on the test, sometimes much preparation is given for the exam in class. Sometimes they'll outright tell you. Or they'll go over stuff that's important. Now, I want to tell you a story here. I faced a course one time in school, and the first exam, I think I made 17. And it wasn't 17 out of 30 or 17 out of 50. It's 17 out of 100. Now, I don't... That's not very good. I mean, just hack it any way you want to. It's not very good. And it was happened to be in a history course. And this fella had gave one of the hardest courses that there was in existence at Texas A&M. And I should have known the first day I walked in. And it was an all-men school, so we're a little more uninhibited. And so he walks in the first day and walks up and writes his name on the board, and half the class says, "Oh, no. Get their books and walk out." And I'm just kind of lowly freshman. You know, I don't know what the deal is. I hadn't as of yet heard of the guy. So, I mean, they didn't even have the courtesy to wave the class over. They said, "Oh, no," just a moan, and just walked out the door to go change to get in another class. I wasn't that smart. First test, about, as I recall, 17, might have been 27, something like that. But, I mean, it was pitiful. And I thought, man, I've had it. So I dropped the course. You could do that after the first course. And I thought, there's no way I'll ever pass this. And one of the reasons is because he would lecture, and he'd have you read all this stuff, and he'd come in, and he'd want you to write. He'd put about three questions on the board. And boy, you better know everything that had ever happened on those three areas. And I just studied generally. And so I go on through school, and I wait till my last semester, and I'm going to take that course. Well, it just worked out that way. And so I go in there, and I'm praying, sitting there hoping that this guy will not walk into class, because they wouldn't tell you who was teaching the classes. You just signed up. And so I walk in, and I cannot believe it. Well, I could believe it. This guy walks in. And here again, most of the guys, "Oh, no," walk out the door. If I walked out the door, if I didn't do that, I was back the next year. And so I pray, and I thought, "Oh, God, I need help." And I thought, you know, one thing I know, I cannot pass that class like I have done with many of my other classes. I am going to watch him like a hawk. I was never a minute late to class. I mean, when he opened his mouth and he'd talk at the ceiling and look out the windows and all that, I mean, whatever he said, I took notes and I watched him. And one day he's lecturing along, and he said, "You know, over in the library, article on rash, there's only four of them in four copies over there." He said, and he started talking about this article that he had written. And I thought, aha, I got him. As sure as I'm sitting here, that's going to be one of the questions. And so as soon as class is over, I made a beeline to the library, because I knew what had happened the night before, because there are many, many people in this class. I mean, some of them were like I was. They couldn't leave or they were too dumb. And I thought, I'm not going to wait till the night of that before that test. So I went away and I got a copy of that and I started copying. I mean, literally, I started copying every word of it. And after I'd gone through several pages, I thought, well, I'll get the essence of it. And I copied it down before I left the library that day. I had that article. And I started studying. And I mean, I started studying. And I went back to class and I kept watching him. And I'd listen, I'd take notes. And one day he gave another hint. And I thought, I got you again. And I wrote that down, and I mean, I started working on that. And then we go on through the class, and one day again, he said, well, you know, I think this is very important. And I look around, and some of the guys sitting back there dozing off and all that, and I thought, I got him again. And I walked in there for that first test, and the first three questions he wrote on the board were the exact first three I had, and I made 97. And so then I started watching him again. I mean, man, I wasn't about to miss class. I watched him, and I studied him as much as I studied that course. I mean, during that hour, it was basically study the professor. Same thing on the second test, except this time it was about 100. And I went in there, and then being a graduating senior, I didn't have to take the final. And I tell you what, I'm telling you the truth. I went from a 17 to a very high A in that class. And it's basically because of one thing. I watched that professor. Now, you better pay attention. Because many times he will hint in class what he thinks is important. Okay? Number five. Another thing, the instructor may note your absences and consider that in borderline grade situations. Some of you think there can be a class of 200 and he's not going to notice if you're not there. I promise you, I can tell you some students that were not here Thursday night. Do you know I can tell a number? I can tell you right now some students that normally come to the church where I go on Sunday night that we're not here Sunday night. I mean, I can walk in here tonight, and before I leave, I'll know some students that I know that are not here. I mean, I'm not all that smart, but I got eyes, and I've tried to learn to use them. And if you think you can go into class and that professor has no idea where you're there or not, I mean, there may be some professors like that, but I tell you what, you better not count on it. And sometimes if you're on a borderline and you've been at that class every time and you're always there, sometimes that can make a difference. Don't think it's just always just what your grade average is. That's not true. It's just not true. Sometimes your interest. When I was BSU director at the medical school in Dallas, you know, I know, and you'd think a medical school, boy, it has to be right down the line. Well, I know of a particular situation, and when a particular boy was about the fifth or sixth, seventh alternate, somewhere in there, at least fifth. The first day of med school, he shows up. He goes in the office and says, is there any chance I can get in? And he said, well, not unless somebody doesn't show up, because you're fifth alternate. It'd be four before you. You know what he does? The next day he's in that office again. Boy, is there anybody who hasn't showed up? Well, no. So the next day he's out there again. And he goes out there on Friday. I mean, every day he's in there, trying to talk to the dean, trying to talk to the lady. And finally he goes in on Friday and says, is there any chance I can get in? So she said, just a minute. She goes in there, and one boy hadn't shown up, and she said, get your books and go to class. He got in med school when four people should have been called before him because he showed an interest. Now, if you think everything in life goes by the book, you sure got a lot to learn. And so you better pay attention, because sometimes it may really pay off for you. I know the excuses. The lectures are dull. You know, he follows a book. Let me tell you, you never lose by going to class. You never lose by going to class. You know, a college education, I was listening to a tape by a fellow by the name of Douglas, and I recommended it to you at the back of the page. And one of the things he said, you know, a college education is one of the few things you pay for and don't get. I mean, you paid for this stupid thing. Why don't you go get it? I mean, you paid for these classes. Why don't you go see what's happening? Number two, sit close to the front in the first three rows if possible. You say, oh, where'd that come from? You know what that'll do? Number one, that'll help you to get there on time. I mean, you don't like to come in late and walk down the front of the church, right? Or in class. You know, one of the things that Steve Douglas said at a study was done, that they found the students through a test that was done over a period of 10 years in a number of universities, in University of Michigan and some other places, they found that the students that sat on the first three rows in any class make significantly higher grades. He said, you know why? Because usually if you sit on the first three rows, you lean forward. I mean, you're not going to go to sleep. I mean, he's got chalk. You don't know what might happen if you go to sleep. I mean, but if you sit on the first row, you lean forward, you're looking at him, he may be looking at you. And if you sit on the back row, you know, it's just kind of shades down and head on your book or something like that. And you know, some of you have the wrong idea about how important class is. What you do in that class is you're not just a stenographer. See, some people think, well, if you just go and get the notes. No. Number three, think aggressively in class. Listen to what's going on. Think. Try to correlate things. Think, this is important. Make little notes on the side. If you can, before you leave a class, take just a moment to summarize what was said today that I think is most important. Some people just go in there and it's just like, you know, I mean, they're totally out of it. Or even if they go and just jot down notes. You need to learn to take good notes. Number four, take good notes. Don't just be a stenographer. What's important? How does this relate? How does this relate to what he said yesterday? All the time, be scanning, be looking, be thinking. You can learn tremendously in class. See, some of you think, well, you go to class and then you have to go study. Let me tell you, some of your best study time that you'll ever get will be in class. If you got your head in the game and are really thinking, that is great, great time. Number five, never go to class unprepared. If he asks you to read something, read it before. Dr. Jerry White, who wrote the little book I'm going to recommend to you later, it's an excellent little book for college students, said that he found while he was in college that 20 minutes of preparing before you went to class was equal to 1 hour studying later. He said, if I knew the professor was lecturing over chapter 3, if I could read through that, I was a little bit familiar with ideas. When he started talking about it, it stuck in a way that it never would if he's introducing totally new material. Allot time regularly for each course. In other words, don't function on the squeaky hinge principle. You know, if it squeaks, oil it. In other words, well, I got this test this week, so you just skip class, do everything, and just study for this test. And boy, and then next week you got another. Well, then dump everything else and study for that one. Pitiful way to learn. Pitiful way to learn. Don't do that. Allot regularly time for each course. In other words, if you could go back every day and go over your notes that you've taken that day, and if you do that from the beginning of your class. Now, I know some of you may be in electrical engineering, and some of these things may not apply as much, but most of you, if you had a lot regular time, and even then, in that course, you've got to do the same thing, a lot regular time for each course. Do all your assigned homework. Usually, he asks you to do that homework because some way it relates to something he wants you to learn. And usually it relates to the coursework. Start projects and papers early. You know, I found this out in college. I mean, I honestly actually try to do this. Usually, in some of our courses, we'd go in there and we got the dates of each exam for the semester. You've got four major exams, here are the dates. Or you've got to have a paper and here's what it's due. And I try to go get started immediately. Dr. Jerry White tells about being in one class in a lab and the student came and they had to pair up to do a project. And this boy said, well, would you be my partner? And he said, under one condition and one condition only. He said, what's that? And he said, that is, we get started tomorrow. Well, the guy, you know, he just had this blank look because, I mean, he had never started tomorrow on anything. So he agreed to do that. So they started. They had to do their lab project. They needed to check their data. Have you ever started to write a paper, you thought you could find enough information on it, so you're going to wait, and then you start, and you can't find the books you need, or it's not working out, then you're in a bind. But if you started immediately, now, maybe you don't have much time, but you begin to lay it out. See, you need some think time. So he said, the next day they got started. He said, we mapped our strategy, we started doing our experiments, we checked all of our data, and he said, now, before we write this, why don't we check it a second time? We got plenty of time. So they checked it a second time. They knew they were right. He said, we had our data. We had our thing typed. We had our thing written. He said, 2 weeks before anybody else in the class started, we were completely through, and we made an A. And this guy said, boy, if we ever have to do another project, can I work with you? See, some of you, if you hadn't already started studying, you know what? You just come Friday, you're just a week and a half behind. See, you've got to get on it. And the quicker, the better. So a lot... Start projects, papers early. Never turn in projects or homeworks late. Do you know it takes the same amount of time to do it if you do it on time or if you do it late? See, some people think, well, if I do it late, it'll take less time. No, it won't. Not only that, but it doesn't usually, very likely, it's not going to relate to the material as much. And not only that, you're chiseling on future time. It's kind of like debt. You go in debt. Well, the reason you go in debt is because you say, in the future, I'm going to have more money. Well, you may. Or you may not. And when you got this project and it's due now, you're saying, well, I don't have time to do it now. I'll do it later. Then you're chiseling on the time you may have to do something else later. So try not to ever hand anything late. Do you know normally, if you hand in a paper late, what does it do to your grade? Drops it how much? One letter. That's right. Normally, a late paper, if it's perfect and you hand it to the professor, and it's supposed to be in at 5, and you get it in the next morning at 8. I mean, you already start off with a B. That's the best you can possibly do. And so, never turn in projects late. Not only that, but you know what? You're never going to have all that time you dream of having. I mean, it's not going to be any different next week, so why don't you just get after it and get it done? Do as much optional homework and reading as you can. Remember, your purpose is to learn, and sometimes that helps. Sometimes you can earn extra points. Ask for help. Don't wait till the night before the test. If you're not understanding something, go to your professor, ask for help, and go in with some questions. Think through some questions. They may be clarification questions. I don't understand this. They may be application questions. I don't understand how this really works. But whatever they are, go with him with some questions. Learn to take exams. Let me list some things here that will help you. There's a little book, and it's in your library over there, and it's called How to Go to College. It's written in 1978 by Michael Ross, but it's tremendous. And he talks about taking tests. First thing is listen in class. As I've said before, most professors teach their exams or part of them in the actual lecture time. Begin preparation early. Review your notes daily. And then pray for help and insight into what to study. It's fine to pray. I mean, if all you ever pray is, oh, God, give me the answer to this when you're sitting in an exam, that may be a little bit late. But pray for insight. Lord, what do I need to learn? What do I need to study here? Memorize important information. You may want to check this out by seeing if you can write it down. Read the entire exam and answer the easiest ones first, then tackle the difficult ones. Have you ever gone to exam and you read this over? And maybe you started on it, and then when you got to the end, you found here were some you could answer, but you just don't have time, and you spent too much time on the difficult ones. One of the best things you can do is get an exam, is glance over it, read over it, and see where to start. Leave no question unanswered. Most professors give partial credit. Remember one fellow at A&M in his history class, and I've told some of you how he... In his Texas history class, he didn't know the answer to this. And it was, why did the Germans settle around Schulenburg and Fredericksburg in Texas? He didn't have the foggiest idea. But he thought, well, I'll write something. So he said, well, some people came over to the States on vacation, and they brought their cameras, and they saw all this moss hanging off the trees down there, and they thought, and they took some pictures of that, and they sent it back to Germany, and they all thought it was sauerkraut, and so said they just flopped over it. Well, that question on that test was worth 15, and when he got it back, it had a minus 20. Now, usually, that won't happen. Write something. And usually, I mean, something is just kind of in the ballpark. And a lot of times, if you start writing, something will come to you, but... Put down something. Maybe he'll give you a little bit of credit anyway. And then number 8, recheck your work if you have time. Have you ever been in an exam and you've got an hour to do it, and about 20 minutes through, somebody stomps down to the front and plops his paper on the desk? You know, and you think, man, I wonder if he got the same test out of you. Well, if he did, he's probably dumb for doing it. If you can, recheck your work. It's been proven that people, once you've gone over the test, if you've got some more time, take all your time, read back over it. Most of the time, you can raise your grade 5 to 10% by just reading back over it. That's why before you answer a question, it's important, if you can, to read it twice. Make sure you understand it. I remember not doing that in a class in seminary one time. Had a question that was worth 25% and just wrote about two pages, and then I went back to check it and found out I was totally off. I mean, I had totally misunderstood the question. But it was too late. I couldn't do anything about it. And because I had not read the question twice like I should have. Now the last thing, number 13, do not cheat. Some of you may have developed some habits in high school where you wouldn't mind just, you know, taking a little glance. Let me tell you why not to do that. Because first, you violate God's command for honesty. You've got enough problems without getting God on your case. I mean, you really do. Don't cheat. Whatever you do, don't cheat. I told some others of you about a story when I was planning to go to veterinary medical school. I had this chemistry class. We had a professor, and they had a hard time putting a chemistry class together that I could really get through. And this particular one, it was very, very difficult for me. And we had this lab. We had a fellow from another country, and his English wasn't all that good, and he was just hard. And I didn't have the best background, and I was not doing well in that class. And every week when we went to lab, we had an exam. And so one day I noticed this fellow next to me, and we'd both been rocking along, and we'd make C's or so, but that's not too good if you're trying to get in a medical school of some kind. And so I just wasn't doing well. Sometimes I'd flung them, but I was fighting to get a C in that class. And so one day I noticed he gets back about a 97. And I said, "Man, what happened? How'd you study for that?" He said, "Oh, I just studied." Well, we'd been studying together some. I mean, so next week, man, I studied hard and asked him some things. I go in there and he gets it back and he gets 100. I said, "Man, what is going on?" He said, "Well, Max, I'll tell you if you won't tell anybody else." And he said, "You know," and there's a big class, big chemistry class. We'd go in this big amphitheater first. And at the beginning of the hour, we would have this exam. And he said, they'd just pass the test down a row. And he said, "When it comes to you, take two of them. Just take two. Write your name on the top and do anything you want to in the blanks." And then we'd go out of there into the lab. And he said, "You know how the professor always puts those tests over there under the hood?" And he said, "What you do is you just write your name on the top where it's easy to find. And then you take the second one. And when everybody else goes to lab, we go hide in the room." And he said, "There are a couple of us doing this. And we take our books and we fill out this exam. And then we go into the lab." And I mean, with that many people, he doesn't notice when we're not there. Or he didn't think he did anyway. So he said that, "And then one of us will get back doing our experiment and we'll raise our hand and ask him to come answer a question. And when I'm talking to him and making sure he's back to us, the other guy goes over the hood and he flips through those papers and finds that paper with his name on it and just puts this other one in." And he says, "That's the way you can get through this class." And he said, "You can do that with us if you won't tell anybody." And you know, as I thought about that, you know, that was hard. I thought if I got in veterinary medical school, I think I could do well at that particular thing. But this chemistry is eating my lunch. But you know, as I thought about that, I told him, I said, "No, I'm not going to do that. I may not make it into veterinary medical school and I might not make it through this course. But I'm a Christian and I will not do that." And you know, I'm grateful by the grace of God till this day. That's one of the wisest decisions I ever made. You violate God's command for honesty. Second thing, look at Proverbs. Well, Proverbs 20:17 says, "Bread obtained by falsehood is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be full of gravel." You ever had a mouth full of gravel? It's not very pleasant, probably. And in Acts 5:1-11, you ought to read that about Ananias and Sapphira lying to the Holy Spirit. And they carried them out feet first. Ephesians 4:25, "Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, every one with his neighbor, for we're members one of another." Lay aside falsehood. Colossians 3:9, "Do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices." Okay, so we said you violate God's law. You also violate school rules. If you're caught, you could be kicked out. And let me tell you, not only that, but you are establishing long-range habits. If you will cheat on a test, You would cheat if you were in a situation where millions of dollars were concerned. You know what Luke 16:10 says? And you may want to jot this down. It's not in your notes. Luke 16:10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in that which is the least is unjust also in much. When you establish a habit in college of cheating, it will follow you, and it can follow you. It's a pattern that can follow you for the rest of your life. Don't do it. It is not worth it. Number three, suggestions for a student. One of the things that I wish I had discovered earlier in life, but I discovered this my senior year, I started each night before I would study, spending some time in the Word and prayer. Now, maybe I'd read the Bible some that morning. But have you ever sat down to study and started to study and felt guilty because you hadn't read the Bible or because you hadn't prayed? See, one of the things I'd encourage you to do, if you've got an evening to study, is get the Bible, spend some time in the Word and prayer, make sure everything is right between you and God, there's no unconfessed sin, that you have some fellowship with Him. And then when you study, then you can say, God, as far as I can tell, everything is right between you and me. Now, I got to study this chemistry. God, help me. And then, I mean, get after it. And I found that was tremendously helpful to me. That maybe if I had that night I was going to study for 3 hours, I may spend the first hour just reading the Bible and praying. But then when I got to studying, I felt I could go at it with all my heart. And I felt that I learned much more than I would have if I'd have taken all that time to study. Number two, make a brief weekly plan. Put in the important things. Like, for example, put in your classes, put in some study time. Like for your BSU meetings and things, I would highly recommend you schedule these just like a class. Now, see, there's no final exam. You know, one of the problems is God doesn't always give finals in December. And so people let God slide. You know, they just kind of slide off the corner on that one. Put in the things that you want for your own spiritual life. Put them in your schedule. Just like, what do you do Thursday night at 6:30? I go to Vespers. Yeah, but I got two tests the next day. So what? I mean, they didn't just announce that at 6. I mean, so put it in your schedule, the things you want. I would also recommend to you, some of you ran track, you were in sports, you did things like that in high school. Don't come to college and just sit. You know, sometimes you come to the point where you can't learn anything but just sitting at the bookshelf. In other words, study, then go jog, go do something, get some physical exercise. Try to study as a good rule of thumb. Some people say 2 hours. I think more realistic is try to study an hour and a half for each hour in class. Now, some classes you may do that and flunk. Others of them you can do that and do very well. But a good rule of thumb is try to spend some time. Use your daytime hours well, from 8 to 5. I've known fellows. I've told you some of you the story of a fellow a number of years ago. Dave Dawson came to speak to us when he started college. He said, I'm going to be as diligent as any businessman. My calling right now is as a college student. So he decided every day between 8 and 5 he would study. If at 8 o'clock in the morning he didn't have a class, he walked through the doors of the library and he studied. If he had an hour off, if he was studying in the library, then he had a class, he'd go. Then if he had an hour off, he went straight back to the library. He studied 8 hours a day. Do you know that's more than most college students study? Do you know you can kid yourself about how much time you study? And you ride home and say, oh, Mom, Dad, boy, it's hard here at the University of Oklahoma. I was up till 3 o'clock this morning. Only thing is, you don't tell them you got out of school at noon. And you didn't pick up a book till about 9 o'clock that night. Learn to use your daylight hours. Concentrate on Monday to Friday. Work hard Monday to Friday like you got a job. Number 6, plan only a half a day on Saturday to study. Don't you like that? See, some people say, well, boy, I'll hit it all day Saturday. No, you won't. If you're an international student, you won't. But if you're American, no, you won't. Just don't plan on it, because you're going to be disappointed. I mean, you live in the great century. Do you know that? I mean, in the olden century, we used to come back after Christmas, have a week of classes, and then start finals. Boy, you know, that made great holidays. I mean, you take all these books home, you're going to study. I mean, man, you felt guiltier, lousier than a dog the whole time. So did very little studying, but you were planning on it. So don't plan on studying all day Saturday, because you won't. Just plan on, if you get up in the morning, and let me tell you another little secret. You know, you can get up the same time on Saturday you can every other day of the week. Now, I'm going to say that a second time, because some of you, that's just, you just can't believe that. Do you know, it will not wreck your health if you get up on Saturday the same time you do every other day. Do you know that you could get up on Saturday morning, go to the library, you could study, have a half a day studying, and quit it at 12 and just forget it till Monday. Now notice, number 7, you'll love this too. Or you ought to. On Sunday, do not plan to study at all. Now let me tell you why. It's not because, well, you think it's holy and it's unholy to study. I hope you've heard from what I've said before, I don't believe studying is unholy. Whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. But you know, the God of this universe, the Creator God, labored 6 days and rested on the seventh. Now, did He do it because He was tired? The Bible says God doesn't get tired. Why did He do it? He did it for an example for His children. We need rest. You don't need to keep the same pace at all times. If you would, and I can honestly say this, my senior year in college, I never picked up a school book on Sunday. I just never studied on Sunday. I averaged taking 19 hours a semester and took a lab 4 afternoons a week. Had plenty to do, but I never studied on Sunday. One semester I had, every week without fail, I had 5 exams. Every week. But I knew that. And I just didn't plan to goof off all weekend. See, the greatest loss of time for most college students is from the time you get out of class on Friday until Sunday evening. And then like on Sunday, maybe you're going to church, Bible study. Somebody says, hey, something happened in church. You go, oh, I've got to study. Well, sure you got to study. Because you goofed off all day Saturday and all day Sunday till Sunday night. And let me tell you, if you would do this, and I started this in college and today is Sunday, if you want me on a committee meeting on Sunday, forget it. I mean, I will go to church on Sunday morning. I come in. I eat lunch. I take a nap. I read my Bible. I go back to church on Sunday night. I mean, that's just my plan. And I found in college, I'd do the same thing. I'd come in after lunch. I'd get my Bible. I'd get up on my bunk and I'd read till I got sleepy. Maybe 2 verses, 3 verses on a good day. And then I'd take a nap. And I'd sleep till I woke up. And then I'd go to church that night. And if I'd had slept that afternoon, I'd come in that night. I'd have 2 or 3 hours a lot of times in the Word. I tell you, I wouldn't take... I mean, God did some things in my life as a result of that. And let me encourage you, save Sunday to get some special time with the Lord. And if you would do that and plan ahead, you would not have to study on Sunday. And it'd be a great thing for you. Number 8. Plan a little extra time for studying before each exam, if needed, but do not neglect other courses. I've already basically said that. Guard against impulsive scheduling. Hey, let's go shoot a few. Hey, let's go have a coat. Now, sometimes God may lead you to do that, but you got to watch out for that. See, as a result of having a little schedule, and I know I only have 3 hours this week that I can give studying this course, and at the time I'd planned to study that, somebody says, let's go shoot a few baskets. I think, now, if I shoot a few baskets now, where am I going to pick up that 2 hours that I'm going to lose? I don't have it in my schedule. And so I can say, no, thank you. And then say, you can go to bed the night before the test. Another thing, plan for rest. Do not stay up too late. Now, I'm going to say something here, and you're not going to like this either. If you would plan to shut it off about 11 each night, you would do a whole lot better as a university student. You see, when you don't have a go-to-bed time that's decent, you keep putting it off and putting it off. And if you don't get started to study until 9, 10, what's the deal? I mean, you got all night or till you go to bed. When you get out of school, you're going to be in an 8 to 5 work day. And friends, some of you are going to have to change your lifestyles drastically. if you would use your time and know, about 11 o'clock, it's all over. See, some of you need to be establishing your devotional life, getting up and meeting with God in the morning. And as a friend says, you know, you cannot hoot with owls at night and soar with eagles in the morning. You just can't. You'd do a whole lot better if you'd start living like normal people and try to go to bed. Now, whether it's 11 or not, I won't fight you for that. But I am encouraging. You are not an exception. You think you can get by without sleep. Let me tell you, it's going to cost you. For one thing, when you're in that class, I mean, the blinds are down. A lot of times, you're not aggressively, you're not watching. And so don't do that. Go to class, prepare, get some rest. I want to say this to you too. Sometimes an A may not be worth it. The difference between an A and a B may not be worth it. It may take a great deal more studying for A than it would a B. And sometimes, I'm just telling you, it may not be worth it. I mean, there are some classes I took that I saw, yeah, I think I can make an A, but I'd have to give my life to that. And sometimes it's not worth it. Select your extracurricular activities well. Do you know you're going to become like the people that you're around? You know what 1 Corinthians 15:33 says? Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Select your extracurricular activities carefully. That's why we would say to you things like the BSU. You want to be a God, you want a godly wife someday? Do you know that God didn't have too many of those and He didn't like to pass them around to guys who don't mean business? If you want someday to have a happy home and a happy marriage and you want to know what it is to have joy and peace and meaningfulness, then you better hang around people that are headed in that direction. And I would encourage you, be careful what you get involved in. I'm not saying that you can't do some secular things and clubs and things, but be sure you're getting some help spiritually. And the third thing is, no better time than in college to set your heart to be what God wants you to be. You know, as I look back, the course of my life was determined on a college campus. Right now, you've got more time than you're ever going to have. I know you don't believe that, but you wait until you get out, you get a job, you get married, you have children, and it can be hard. Notice, I've said here, much of the information in this message is from the Christian Students How to Study Guide. We've got some of those down in the bookstore. A little paperback. It goes under two titles, that or Making the Grade. And then also there's we have a videotape here by a fellow by the name of Steve Douglas on Making Better Grades. Those are some things that will help you. I hope you'll take this and study it. And we want you to be a good student. If you do well in school, you're going to have time for the other things and have much more fun while you're in school. Okay, let's pray together. Father, I thank You that You've given us the privilege to live in America, to be able to go to college. There are people in some countries of the world that would give anything in the world if they had the privileges that we have. God, You've entrusted us with a great opportunity. Please help us not to blow it. Now, Father, we want to have time for fun. We want to have time to do some things. I remember Harold Bullock saying one thing that's number one on most college students' list that he'll protect more than anything is his goof-off time. And God, I pray we'd not be like that. I pray that we would be people who live by priorities, that while we're in school, we'd do everything we can to walk with You, to learn, to grow, to develop. Father, we're developing habits that will follow us through our life. And right now, as Christians on the campus, we have a great opportunity to share with other non-Christians. And Father, I pray for some here tonight that do not know You, that they would yield their life to You and find out that the Christian life is the best life there is because You died for us, that as Lori shared with us tonight, we could have an abundant life, a meaningful and full life because You care about every area of our life. Father, thank You for these that are here. They've given some time to be here. Now I pray that You would bless them as they study and as they go their way, because we've prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Next week, Tom Eliff from First Southern Dale City will be the speaker, so we'd encourage you to be back. Brent?